compromise is for relationships, not wine. Besides, a good bottle of wine will settle almost any argument. You're listening to Grape Encounters Radio.
And it is time for your very next grape encounter. And this is one of the most special grape encounters that I will ever be able to present to you. And he is one of my great heroes when it comes to winemaking. I met him, I must say, maybe 25 years ago in Hawaii. But then we learned that we spend our winters in the same town. We had an opportunity not very long ago to have lunch together. And it was one of the most special days of my life. It was the day that I got to sit down and casually talk to my hero, Mike Gergich. But I have him here face to face today, and I'm so glad. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you for coming to Napa. I'm always thinking about our last meeting when I was very impressed with your ideas to cover whole United States. That has to be a hero of special will and determination. Enjoy what you are doing.
Well, to get the whole world drinking wine, but I think you have a lot more responsibility for that than anybody else. For those who may not be familiar with Mike, and I'm not sure how you could be unfamiliar with Mike, not everybody knows the history of wine. It all began back in 1976. There was an event that most people have heard of because it was chronicled incorrectly in a movie called Bottle Shock. The story was not told correctly. It at least alluded to this very important event. But I remember when it happened because it was a very big news story in America. And it was a competition that took place in Paris. And Mike, why don't you explain what happened and how that all came about?
When I came to Napa Valley 50 years ago, food and wine in Napa Valley was not as good as today. I came to this country with degree in knowledge in viticulture, business degree with 7 years of experience, and I find Napa Valley a paradise.
And I should say you came from Croatia.
Yeah, I came from Croatia, and I was very fortunate that I chose to improve my knowledge by working by the best winemakers in Napa Valley.
Let's talk about who some of those legendary winemakers were.
Lee Stewart, which was one-man operation, but he was artist winemaker. And so precision. I was so happy to start to work with him. And then I followed with the Christian Brothers, as I'm Catholic, and it was a Catholic organization that had Christian Brothers. But then I heard about Andre Chelichev. He was called
one of the greatest winemaking names of all time.
American.
Was he the greatest at that time?
Yes.
By far?
Yes.
Yes.
He interviewed me. I tried to speak to him with broken English, and he started to talk to me in clear Croatian. He was immigrant from Russia and graduated agronomy in Czechoslovakia and then moved to Croatia, and he was making a living by singing and dancing in Croatia and learned perfect Croatian language, and his knowledge I absorbed, and I was started as a wine chemist to analyze wines, and then I was moved to the quality control. And then I moved all of this plus sanitation inspector.
Sanitation inspector.
And that was very important in food and wine sanitation.
We're speaking to Mike Gergich. I think it is a very safe statement to make. Mike, maybe more than anybody else, was really responsible for shining the international spotlight on California wine when it was just a cottage industry in the state and in the country, because of the fact that the Chardonnay that he made actually won the Judgment of Paris, much to everyone's amazement across the world. It was headline news, and it was the beginning of the beginning in the state of California. Let me ask you about Chelichev for a second. What was it that he saw in you that caused him to hire you?
He was very happy that I listened to him. I would do it. If he will tell me something, I'll do it. And that is not every day that everybody does. I was doer, and I was absorbing everything what he offered to me, so that I grew with him step by step. In 9 years, I reached almost maximum. But at that time, he retired, and I moved to another wine icon, Robert Mondavi.
Yes.
4 years, which I added his enthusiasm and his love for wine and food that after 9 years with Sandra Cherichev and 4 years with Robert Mondavi, my inheritance, art of winemaking that I brought from Europe, it made me to feel confident that I can be on my own. So I was then hired by Chateau Montelena, where I was in charge for winemaking. I had contract for 5 years.
And they were a very important name at that time here in California.
At that time, Chateau Montelena was only the building. First day when I came there.
Oh, really? Okay, so at that point, they were just the building.
Just the building. No tanks, no barrels, no machinery.
They were just an idea.
They've been closed from prohibition.
Okay.
And first day, I get the paper, the ruler, and pencil to design winery.
Really?
Not building, but inside. And prepare winery for crush in September.
You have to design?
Design.
The infrastructure for the winemaking facility and build it and have it up and ready to receive.
And find the grape and find the people, train the people. We made wine, 72 Chardonnay, that was tasted in San Diego, comparing with three French Chardonnay, Bâtard Matraché, the Pouligny Matraché, the one more three French wines. And this first wine that I made at Chateau Montelena came first place. And that was good beginning because the next year...
These were American judges.
Yeah. This was about 80 American public wine
enthusiasts.
Yeah.
It was a blind tasting.
Yeah.
Meaning that they didn't know which was the French, which was the California wine.
And the next day it was tasted 73. And again, 73 came in first place.
So you knew you were onto something at that point in time.
I knew, but when you read and listen to the bottle shock, they never mentioned this. They mentioned only Paris taste.
I have complained about this more than a couple of times on the radio, the way that the movie Bottle Shock was done, because the real story is much better than the Hollywood story. It would have benefited them to tell the story correctly. They would have had a better movie. And plus, you should have starred in it.
I still have a time to make another movie.
Well, of course you do. Absolutely. So here's where we are. You make this Chardonnay. You're probably not feeling very objective about it initially, right? Because you like it, but then you made it. But now you have an opportunity to have other people taste it against tried and true, historically outstanding wines. And they say they like yours better. And now you know you've got something that can compete in a world market. Is that about right?
Yeah. And before Paris tasting, Mr. Shaw from England, he was expert wine ambassador. He was teaching about wine, tasting wine, mostly in France. And he visited Chateau Montelena. And on 73 Chardonnay was in barrels. I took wine teeth. I stole some wine from the bottle and gave him to look at it. And he looked at the wine, smelled the wine, and then looked at me and turned his head around. He says, Mike, I never tasted such a good Chardonnay in my life.
Really?
Not in France. That was before Paris tasting.
But you knew throughout the whole process then that you were making a great wine.
Yes.
Did you think so?
Yes. I chose the grapes. Chateau Montelena didn't have Chardonnay grapes. I chose
Can
grapes.
You tell us where the grapes came from? I'm sorry to interrupt, but was it more than one source or was it just one?
It was four sources.
Four sources.
Two from Nampa and two from Sonoma.
Okay. Do you remember what they are?
Mr. Passage, who was partner at Chateau Montelena, he had some Chardonnay his own. So he was the first one. And then Mr. Hanna in Napa, he brought one gondola. And then Ron Dick from Alexander Valley.
Alexander Valley, yes.
Most of it came.
Okay.
And then came from the Charles Bartolucci. That is from same thing from Russia River.
Wow. Okay. So,
and we
so
made
four,
about 2,000
four different sources. And then
about 2,000 cases.
You chose them each?
I chose each of them, yeah.
Okay. Great.
And I chose one to pick because if you pick grapes, the day balanced, that is aroma and flavor, acid and alcohol in best form. That's what wine grapes are mature. They are not over mature, they are not under mature. So when you can pick grapes like that, when they are so good, that all what you have to do is try to protect that until you age wine.
I want to ask you in a moment what kind of a difference a day really makes when it comes to picking grapes. We'll do that in just a second. My guest is Michael Gergich, is the namesake of Gergich Hills Estate. A mighty fine name indeed. And we will be back with Mike on Grape Encounters Radio. Don't go anywhere. Now, there is one wine-related thing that you must do that will never be a mistake, and that is to spend a little time online and visit epicstyle.com. I talk about Epic Style every single week, and I don't get tired of going over and visiting the website because I can tell you they add literally hundreds of products all the time. There are thousands and thousands of amazing gadgets, gizmos, goodies, and accessories that are designed for wine lovers like you and me. But if you're a beer drinker or a spirit lover, they've got a lot for you as well. And if you don't drink at all, go there anyway, because it's really all about the lifestyle. And when it comes to lifestyle, nobody has more style than EpicStyle.com. We're so proud to have EpicStyle.com as the title sponsor of Grape Encounters Radio.
Lots of wineries talk about growing great grapes. This winery talks about growing great wines. Sarlos & Sons in Los Olivos, California, grows great wine, period. This family winemaking operation doesn't have a traditional mission statement. They have a family creed. Live to honor those that come before us and prepare the way for those yet to come. It's with this sense of pride that Sarlos & Sons grows great wine. Grapes grown in the shadow of the farmer ensures the highest quality of grapes are used in Sarlos & Sons wines. Check them out at sarlosandsons.com and also be sure to check out their once-in-a-lifetime wines. Sarlos & Sons is a dream coming true, and they can help make your dreams come true with their exclusive once-in-a-lifetime wines, which commemorate those unrepeatable, unforgettable moments in your life. Learn more about this and more at sarlosandsons.com. That's S-A-A-R-L-O-O-S and sons.com.
We are so fortunate on Grape Encounters Radio to have some incredible authors of books related to wine on the show. But there are two books that I really have a soft spot in my heart for. The first one is a book that just came out. It's called Yard Wine. It's a neighborly thing written by Nancy Roddy and Kathy Larson. Oh my gosh, if you want to know how to bring your neighborhood together using a bottle of wine and your front porch, then pick up a copy of Yard Wine. You'll find the link at grapeencounters.com. Now, another book that I've got a real soft spot for is Tom Silberkleit's California Directory of Fine Wineries. There is no better wine-related travel book than the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Absolutely spectacular photographs, great information. This book will make you salivate more than a great Cabernet Sauvignon. You'll find a link to Tom's book also on grapeencounters.com. Check out the reading material at grapeencounters.com. And we are back with what I can only call a special edition of Grape Encounters Radio, because the one person that I have most wanted to interview since we started this show is sitting right in front of me, and I'm so glad to present him and share him with you. It's Mike Gergich of Gergich Hills Estates. Mike is one of the truly great legends in the wine business, not just in California or the United States, but in the world, because he's known for having won the Judgment of Paris in 1976, when we finally showed those folks in Europe that in California, we can make better wines. So, Mike, we were talking about the fact that you had tasted the wines, put them in competitions in San Diego initially.
Yes.
You knew from, you know, your own monitoring of your own wines that you had something good. You also knew, based on judges, and these are, I guess, everyday wine drinkers that, or wine enthusiasts, really, that judge those wines as being better than the French wines. So now it's time to go to Paris. How did that happen?
I believe that there was one Englishman, Mr. Spurrier, who have a store in Paris, and he read in papers that American Bicentennial is coming.
That's right. That's and right. So 1976,
that,
yeah.
That he wanted to make some splash for his business. and he decided to blindly taste French Chardonnays and French Cabernets and to get some wine from California for a joke.
Oh, it was a joke for him.
For him it was a joke and for publicity. He never thought that result will happen as it did happen. However, he sent to California his assistant, Mrs. Gallagher. She came to Chateau Montelina and tasted our Chardonnay, and he put it in the tasting. And another five California Chardonnays was in it.
Now, some of those other California Chardonnays did well as well, correct?
But the purpose was to have publicity for his business. It was almost just something for promotion. And when he invited French press to cover this tasting, though he has chosen the best wine tasters in France, nine of them did effort to get the best judges, to get more publicity. Wine writer recently wrote that wine history will be judged. It will be judged before Paris tasting of the French quality domineering after Paris tasting. California, in actually Napa Valley, is number one in the world.
What were some of the things that happened, the reactions that occurred, especially in France, when they learned that the California wine had trumped the French wines? Was there outrage?
I haven't been there, but I just know that one writer, journalist from magazine Le Monde,
right,
who was their journalist in Los Angeles, he came to Napa Valley and tried to find out how we succeeded to make wine as good as French, even better than French. It was big article
right
about this in France.
I could see the French are a very proud people, and I've got to think that they are a lot disturbed by this revelation and maybe even question the results.
Mr. Tabor, that was only journalist present during tasting, he saw when first was tasted Chardonnay, and Chardonnay that I have made came first place. So they thought it was a mistake. So they started to change the scores. And Mr. Tabor, no way.
Good for him.
So he was, luckily, he was American.
Okay, Mike, so you come back to California. Everybody wanted to know your secret. How did things change once you got back here?
I was feeling that was impact almost unbelievable.
Really?
That I called for myself, that I felt I was born again. New York Times called me, started to talk about Paris tasting. Until that time, I didn't know anything except one sentence from Mr. Barrett that our one scored in Paris tasting. I had no knowledge what Paris thing was, and I had no knowledge that our wine was in Paris tasting.
Oh, so it
when
wasn't.
They called me, I said, why do you call me? Do you want to find something that is bad? Because usually
Did you not remember that your wine had been sent to Paris?
They knew, but I didn't know.
You didn't know.
I know, but I didn't really understand.
It really didn't connect with you.
I didn't connect with
somebody
you.
Wants to try our wine, and that's it. You didn't realize what a big event it was.
But when they asked me to interview me, and they flew from New York, three of them, published in the New York Times my picture and an article,
and
I felt born again.
And your life changed.
It's a new world for me. At that moment, it was a new world, because I never thought that with my humble knowledge and my humble experience, I can make such a great wine. But I believe that this is what I said, when preparation meets opportunity, that's the luck. I start to stomp grapes from age 3. And every year since then, wine was with me and I was with the wine. Every opportunity that I can learn. Because my father, when I was leaving my home, I was 10 years old. There was not room for me in my home with 11 children. So I left the family and my father said, son, I don't have money to give you, but I'll give you few advices. And he says, if you ever get a job, do your best what you can do every day. And besides that, try to learn something new every day and try to be associate with people who are better than you, that you can learn from them. So, and I started to work with Mr. Chelchev. I used that opportunity.
So when we come back from the break, if I ask you what you learned today, will you be able to tell me something?
Yeah.
Okay. It's Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson, but more importantly, with Michael Gergich of Gergich Hills Estates. And we'll continue this very intimate and special visit in a moment.
Tired of being caught unprepared? Want to be a good scout? That's what we thought. With Napkin by JNC Enterprises, you can be Johnny on the spot and be prepared for unexpected messes. The Napkin is one very clever product. These little beauties are barely the size of a small breath mint, but they come to life as a durable, convenient, and sturdy hand towel with just a few drops of water. You'll want to keep a supply of napkins everywhere you would keep a hand towel, paper towel, wash rag, or moist towelette. Napkin is all of these things in one very compact little tablet. Use it to wipe greasy hands, remove makeup, and even to entertain dinner guests. You never know when Napkin will come in handy. Get Napkin at NapkinJNC.com. It's completely eco-friendly and made of 100% recycled paper. Clean your environment and keep the environment clean with Napkin from NapkinJNC.com.
One of these days, I'm going to get in trouble for picking on pretentious people. Who knows, you know, I may go home one night, pull back the covers, and find a turned-up nose in my bed. Look, if you're a wine lover who really is put off by pretentiousness, if you want to discover more ways to have fun with fermented fruit, if you're always looking for new wine-related adventures and discoveries, then check out GrapeEncounters.com. GrapeEncounters.com has a huge library of audio adventures covering topics you're just not going to hear anyplace else. It's fun, fascinating, and it's free. Hey, there's something funny about this wine. So join us at the corner of fermented and demented. It's GrapeEncounters.com. Come on, give us a taste. When it comes to wine, it's the most fun that you can have without turning your feet purple. GrapeEncounters.com.
I'm praying for rain in California so the grapes can grow and they can make more wine. And I'm a-sittin' in a honky in Chicago with a broken heart and a woman on my mind. I matched the man behind the bar for the jukebox, and the music takes me back to Tennessee.
And we are back for a few more minutes with our very special visit with Michael Gergich of Gergich Hills Estates, talking about the fact earlier that when you found out that your Chardonnay had won the Judgment of Paris, didn't even really know what that was all about. It was, as they say, under your radar, right? But all of a sudden your life changes. How much attention were you getting?
As soon as they called me and they said that they want to interview me, I was a little scared because I thought that I did something wrong. And I asked them, what is it about? They said, your wine won in Paris Tasting. Oh, I start to smile. And so when they came, I understood that they didn't ask me something bad, but something good. And I was so happy that I've been interviewed by New York Times.
Wow.
Mr. Brile, who was at that time the one of the number one wine men in the world.
Was there a big celebration that night?
I think I was walking on the air.
So you said to me a few minutes ago that your father told you that you should learn something every day. I know maybe that's not practical to do that every day, but what do you try to learn? What do you look out for?
I'm always looking for some improvements. I have heard from my people here that we have decided because nobody yet made the best wine in the world, that we decide to make one here.
Here at
Geschills.
Oh, at this particular winery.
We get the idea. We can make the best Chardonnay in the world.
And so that's the new goal.
That's a new goal, and we are going to...
When can we expect that?
This season might be an opportunity because it was a wonderful season. We didn't have bad frost in the spring. We didn't have a heat over 100. And grapes looks like a pearls. I looked at yesterday in Sauvignon Blanc, and you can see seeds through the skin. It's so like...
The skin is so thin.
Beautiful. So the grapes are so promising.
What other wines do you personally enjoy making, and what do you drink?
As being a poor immigrant who came to this country with $32, on my mind first was to survive. And I was using my business attitude. Okay. However, after Paris tasting, I'm more thinking on artistic part of the life. And I'm very proud that my daughter Violet chose art, that she went to study harpsichord and graduate.
Does she also play the piano as well? Or just
She started piano, flute, accordion.
I heard that, yes.
And then she was in Davis at the university, and one was one little group that was missing harpsichord. She had no idea how to play it.
So,
but because she thought that she has to be special, she took challenge and started to learn harpsichord. And then after she graduated from Indiana University, I bought her harpsichord in San Francisco, $25,000. That's lots of money.
Well, you know, actually, I was in love with the music teacher at my high school. And she asked me if I would be willing to learn to play the trombone. And I decided that I would, because she was going to give me private lessons. But I never ended up marrying my music teacher. But I wanted to, but I was only probably 13 years old, so probably wouldn't have mattered. But it's funny how you learn to play an instrument because somebody needs you to do that. Let me ask you about the connection between music and wine, and the arts, really, and wine. There seems to me to be an inexplicable connection between the two, that if you are an artistic person, and it could be music, it could be art, it could be dance, I think there's a strong connection, is there not, between those things and wine? And if you believe that, why do you believe that?
I believe because I went through it. I went through feelings. I was born with the natural feelings for wine and for the music. I want to make my homemade instrument.
Really?
I'll go to the mountain and cut the special tree and dry it and cave it and then put the
strings on it?
Skin of the lamb.
Oh,
and
I see.
And then from horse hair, from the horse's tail.
Wow.
Get that to put for the strings to play music. In my village, we have one accordion, that's all as far as music is concerned. But we had homemade instruments that we would have drums, pots, or anything, or make instruments, so-called gusle instruments.
And the whole family would play?
In such a way that when I came to America, when Violet was born, I made from bamboo a little flute. She was playing flute, 2-3 years old, I'm not sure. But she fell down, and the flute went into her throat.
Ouch!
And I came home, and my sister was there. She was crying. She didn't speak English. What to do? So I took her to the doctor, and the doctor pulled it out.
Ouch!
And that was that. Since then, she never played that.
No, that'll stop you from playing the flute.
But she started piano at the age of 5, and after that played flute, and after flute, accordion. And then when she went to University of Davis, she had the opportunity to learn how to play harpsichord, and that's what she does now. I wanted her to be a winemaker, so she was already inclining for the music, and we make agreement. I will put her through the schooling and supply them with the instruments for music, and that she will work in the winery. And so we had agreement. She now practices music and wine. Two things which you mentioned before has to be used with the feelings. You cannot use that mathematics. You have to have developed natural feelings and use all your senses, your eye, your nose, your mouth, your ear, and your instinct.
Well, I think there's a difference between, and it's the same in music and wine, I believe, that you can know the mechanics of making wine. You can know the mechanics of playing music, but it's when you put your soul into it that you have something special, not just a bottle of wine,
you are right.
Not just a piece of music.
And every artist have a different style.
Right.
They cannot make the same sound or play same music. It is their own heart and soul that comes into their music.
Yeah.
It is just that on. And that's so specific that I always felt in my life that all my feelings God gave me, that I am using my eyes, my nose, my taste, my throat. On wine, good wine goes to my throat. I feel that says, my throat says, more.
What happens when
more.
You What happens when you taste a wine you don't like?
I just stop tasting.
You don't drink it.
Yeah.
It's not worth it.
No, it's not worth it. Life is too short to drink cheap wines.
Yeah, that is the truth.
Yeah.
Or bad wines, maybe,
yeah.
Because not all cheap wines are bad,
yeah.
Necessarily. We're talking for a moment longer to Michael Gergich, who is one of the most important names in the winemaking business, period. And if anybody wants to argue that point with me, just call me and I'll argue until the cows come home, because that's what I believe. And all right, you say that there are three things that every woman needs and two things every man needs. Can you tell us what those are?
I don't know whether I'm right or wrong, but I have heard the story that men, to be happy every day, he needs to have two things that starts with letter W.
With the W.
So you let me know who is that.
Well,
W's, two W's.
The two W's. It can only be wine and women.
Perfect score.
In which order? I probably don't want to answer that one, right? And then for women?
And for women, needs a little more.
How many?
Three.
Okay.
And doesn't start with letter W. Start with letter M.
An upside down W.
M.
Yes, which is a W, a W upside down, turned
three
upside down.
Things.
And what are those?
Start with the letter M. If you go to the stores, how many customers do you have, men or women, in the stores?
Well, you have more women.
More women. So they spend money.
So money is one of the M's.
One is the money.
Okay. So the next one?
And someone is that maybe they need sometime a man.
A man. Okay. Money, men. So that leaves us with one.
And to be happy, they need wine. And most women prefer wine called Merlot.
Merlot. Money, men, and Merlot.
Yeah. Three very important things.
I'm thinking it's money, Merlot, and men, right? In that order? Who knows? All right, one last thing. You told me something. This will be the last thing I want to leave people with. you told me some time ago why we should drink wine and not water. Can you share that with my listeners?
Some people say that water separates continents. In another word, act as separation.
Yeah.
And wine brings people together.
We're going to leave it right there. Michael Gergich, it's been an amazing privilege to spend this time with you and to share you with the audience. I thank you so much, and thank you for everything that you've done for the wine business. And again, thank you for spending this time with us. It's been a real privilege.
I enjoy very much talking to you, and I hope that you will continue to spread good news all around the world, and that part of those news will be wine and women.
Okay. We'll be back with a bit more Grape Encounters Radio after this.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we don't judge you by the wine you drink, but we personally prefer the good stuff. Did you bring any?
You know, for most people, wine is more than just a beverage, it's a lifestyle. Motivating enthusiasts to decorate in wine themes, collect the latest gadgets, and coordinate the table setting with wine glasses and accessories that celebrate the season or occasion. It's no wonder that epicstyle.com is the hottest spot on the internet to shop for wine lifestyle products. Nothing compares to epicstyle.com's selection of clever, functional, fun, and beautiful products for wine lovers. epicstyle.com.
This is the time of year when wine lovers start planning their pilgrimage to California's wine regions. The perfect inspiration and companion is the California Directory of Fine Wineries. Featured are profiles of dozens of Central Coast and Northern California wineries, along with hundreds of color images by renowned photographer Robert Holmes. Plus, highlights of tours, tastings, maps, and events. These beautiful directories make a fantastic gift. Be sure to like the California Directory of Fine Wineries Facebook fan page for wine country news and events each week. Click on the link at grapeencountersradio.com.
From time to time, you hear stories about everyday average people who, while cleaning the garage, come upon a painting that nobody liked. And what do you know? It turns out to be a Picasso. I wonder what it would be like to stumble upon a bottle of wine tucked away in a dark corner of your grandparents' pantry that was given to their parents as a wedding present. Rare wines can be very valuable indeed, and every bottle has an amazing story behind it. If you'd like to get up close and personal with some of the rarest wines on the planet, or better yet, if you'd like to take a stab at buying a bottle or two to treasure or even savor on some extraordinary special occasion, then you need to make your way to the St. Mark's 3rd Annual Cellar Classic, an auction of rare and fine wines on Saturday, July 28th in Los Olivos, California. You absolutely have to be there. July 28th in Los Olivos, California. For more information, click on the link at grapeencounters.com. Back with Grape Encounters Radio, and taking time out from his ridiculously busy schedule because he is making the world a more fun place. It is Matt Dubow, our very own exclusive gadget guru from epicstyle.com. You have been one busy little boy.
I have. Thank you again for having me.
I wanted you. You're welcome. I need you. I can't do the show without you. Seriously.
Okay, I appreciate it.
You know, because people are into stuff, and you are the king of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff.
Why don't we call you the king of stuff from now on?
Because that's fine.
Would you be all right with that?
That's totally fine.
Because it used to be all about gadgets, and you do have more wine-related gadgets than anybody on the planet. That's reasonable to say.
We have a lot of gadgets.
But you've gotten so far beyond gadgets, it's ridiculous now.
We have a lot of different items for different types of people and what they enjoy, whether it's wine, spirits, or gourmet food.
Yep, you do. And you brought a lot of that stuff into the studio. I want to talk about some of these things. But you know, being that you are a major player in the wine industry, allied trades, I guess they would call it, right?
Okay.
I wanted to just have a little fun, as we sometimes do, testing your knowledge.
Uh-oh. Here we go again.
Have you ever done well on one of these? You haven't, have you?
Thanks for always setting me up.
I do, because you make yourself look so good, and there's got to be somebody to bring you down just a little bit.
I appreciate it. Payback is a bitch.
Are you one of those people that are into counting things? I mean, because I know that inventory, keeping track of it at epicstyle.com is very important, right?
Of course.
So are you a numbers guy?
I was an economics major.
Oh, well, there you go. When you rode down the street with your family in the car when you were a kid, did you count like telephone poles and that sort of thing, blue cars? And
We did the whole car game, yes.
Oh, okay. Because some people are really into counting things, like, you know, how many steps in a mile. But I prefer to ponder those kinds of things when it relates to wine. So I thought you might enjoy this. So can you... would you like to take a few guesses at something?
Of course.
How many grapes do you think there are in every cluster of wine grapes?
Wow. 30?
You know, that would be a pretty good guess, a little bit on the low side. It'd only be 30 if you got the cluster, you started eating some of the grapes, and then you made wine out of it, which somebody like you might do.
I would.
You went. Okay. There are actually 40 to 60 grapes.
Really?
In a cluster, yeah.
Wow.
Remember, wine grapes tend to be a little smaller than table grapes.
Correct.
So you probably didn't think about that.
No, I was thinking of drinking the wine.
Let me ask you the question again. How many grapes do you think there are in a cluster?
Between 40 and 60.
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you.
That's exactly right. How many clusters do you think there are in a bottle?
Oh, wow.
How about that?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I think you're going to get it exactly right.
Do you want to tell me and then I will?
No, I think you're going to get it exactly right. Come on, guess.
30?
I'm dying because I gave you the opportunity to cheat and you couldn't even get that one.
Well, what was this? I'm raising, you know, someone who does 10
All
usually
right,
does.
I'm coming clean to listeners. I flashed... both hands twice. That would be 20.
Correct.
And then I flashed one hand once.
You did it twice.
I did?
You did.
Play back the tape.
So that would be 30.
All right. Well, they could maybe. How many grapes do you think there are in a bottle of wine?
Well, I think you just do the math, and it's 30 times, or 25 times between 40 and 60.
It's between 500 and 750 grapes.
Okay.
We'll make a bottle of wine. And how many pounds of grapes do you think it takes to make a bottle of wine?
Oh, wow. 40? I'm guessing.
2.75. You're way off on that one.
2.75 pounds of grapes?
Yeah. Pounds of grapes. They're mostly juice, Matt.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not buying this? 40 pounds of juice, okay?
No, I was just 40 pounds of grapes.
When have you had
40 pounds of grapes?
Well, but it's mostly juice. They don't pour anything off, Matt. It's like, when have you had a 40-pound bottle of wine?
You haven't seen those kegs at my house?
That's what you call pounding them down. That's called beer, Matt. All right, enough of that. You know what? You did reasonably well here.
Thank
you. I'm giving you a pretty big mat on the back.
Thank you.
Pat on the back. What else do you have for me here today? You've got all of these openers here. This one is so incredibly feminine. No, that is feminine, but this is a holiday one.
Actually, it's a bottle stopper. It's
this isn't an opener. No, I had it upside down, and it's got a ribbon on it. And these bottle stoppers are getting so fancy now. This one has this beautiful red ribbon on it. Another one has a chef carrying juggling really wine bottles and wine glasses.
Yes.
I like that one. This one is like angel wings in the shape of a heart.
Correct.
Was that your idea?
No, it wasn't. Well, it was one of our designers.
And, inspired by me?
Of course.
I knew it. And then this one, which every woman should have, is the Party Girl corkscrew.
Correct. We have a whole.
It says Party Girl on top.
We have a whole Party Girl line.
Why?
Because
you have a lot of party girls.
Yes, we do.
Is there a questionnaire when you buy something at Epic Style? Do you have to check a box if you're a party girl?
It says, do you want one or do you not want one? And
that's it.
That's it. That's the question.
So you don't ask any personal questions.
No, not like you would. No.
All right. You will find these items and more at epicstyle.com. It's Matt Dubow, our gadget guru. What's the best-selling item right now?
Well, I would say, again, I know we've talked about this many times, but our cork cages, we sell quite a few of those.
Next time you're back, we're going to talk about cork cages because you got some new stuff.
We do.
And that's what I want to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio with our gadget guru, Matt Dubow of EpicStyle.com.
Wine is like the opera. You can enjoy it even if you don't understand it. Grape Encounters Radio. We're happy to explain anything you don't understand in plain English.
Can't get enough Grape Encounters Radio? Why don't you visit us online, grapeencounters.com. Podcasts, past shows, epicstyle.com. Everything you need to know about wine and more is at grapeencounters.com. While you log on, David Wilson will have another glass of wine.